Welcome to the Driller Newscast. I hope you had a refreshing three-day weekend enjoying friends, family, and honoring the fallen on Memorial Day. My father, Charles R. Yorty, was added to my community's list of the fallen to honor this year. Thanks for everybody for all their sacrifices. In the news this week, we will discuss the winners of the 2022 Geothermal Collegiate Competition. Next, we'll celebrate the Better Climate Challenge Reduction Goal Savings announcement by the Department of Energy. Our feature news of the week is the released information from the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization report on water development and how North America ranks in water usage, and what we should all be thinking about with our water-stressed areas of the country. But first, let's get focused back on safety after a three-day weekend. For this week's safety topic, let's get our head back in the game. We just had a great three-day weekend. We celebrated. We were on the course as long as we could, on the boat, behind the grill. I love summer, and here we are. And I think about all the big accidents that I've seen, been part of, had to help mitigate. It always came after a big three-day weekend. We had a lot of great distractions this weekend, but now it's time to focus back on our short week and getting ready for that next three-day weekend without having an injury and being, you know, on the couch or worse. So grab a bottle of water because I know we celebrated way too hard this weekend. It's going to be hot this week. Got some severe weather coming in, tornadoes, lightning, thunder, all things we need to be thinking about. Now let's think about our tasks. And I want you to look to your colleague to the right of you and say, hey, let's get focused. Let's stay safe. Let's be smart this week. And I want you to look to your left. Let's get focused. Let's be smart. What are our tasks at hand? How can we do them safe and effectively? Because it's going to be a short month, and it's going to be another big, long weekend with some explosions and a good time. And everyone, right now is the time to think about, we're distracted. The boat's in the water. We need to get back to the boat in the evenings or on the weekends. I just shot a great round, and I just want to get out and get another birdie. There's so many things that we're thinking about, and we have our job. And those distractions is what gets us. We can pinch our hands, or we forget to put on safety glasses, or we back into another vehicle, or somebody could get backed into. We need spotters. We just need to have focus and understand the next 3 months are some of the greatest times of the summer. And we need to be smart and safe and focused. So anybody that seems a bit distracted, we got to go. Got a lot of dangers on this job site today. We need to get back to it. Let's be safe. Let's be smart. This is short and sweet. Grab another bottle of water on the way to the job site. We need to get hydrated back up. Have a great, productive week. And now on for the news impacting the drilling industry this week. We're back to geothermal. The Department of Energy's Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy announced in mid-May the winners of the 2022 Geothermal Collegiate Competition. This is an annual event that prepares students to lead the next generation of geothermal energy developments. Students from the University of Oklahoma team won first place and $10,000 in prize funding. Good job, Sooners. Geothermal energy is a 24/7 source of renewable energy that has the potential to reliably power, heat, and cool millions of Americans' homes. This was from Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy, Kelly Speaks Bachman. The Geothermal Collegiate Competition prepares students to scale up geothermal technologies in a way that prioritizes individual communities and their unique needs. The Geothermal Collegiate Competition is designed to inspire students to consider new career opportunities, learn geothermal industry-relevant skills, and connect students to their communities. As part of the competition, students assume the role of project developers, working with communities across the U.S. to identify local energy challenges and explore geothermal energy solutions. In addition to technical research, teams conducted an economic feasibility analysis, crafted a strategy for local stakeholder engagement, and created geothermal education modules in partnership with local schools. Oklahoma University's team took first place for designing a system that repurposed six abandoned oil and gas wells in Shawnee, Oklahoma, to provide clean and renewable geothermal energy for more than 730,449 square feet of educational and municipal buildings, including sites within the absentee Shawnee Tribe and Potawatomi Nation's jurisdiction. By using previously drilled wells that were no longer producing, the team was able to reduce drilling costs to feasibly power local schools, religious centers, and government buildings. Second place went to University of North Dakota and Reykjavik University for their design of a combined heat and power geothermal system for the city of Newtown, North Dakota. Third place went to the University of Colorado Boulder for their design of a geothermal ground source heat pump for a local nonprofit that provides a range of support to young people from under-resourced communities. The 2023 Geothermal Collegiate Competition will take place during the spring semester, with team applications opening up in the fall 2022. To learn more about the Geothermal Collegiate Competition, go to their website. Next, there's a new report recognizing 12 organizations for achieving energy and water reduction goals. This highlights new partners and better climate challenges. This is from Washington, D.C. The U.S. Department of Energy announced last week $15.3 billion in energy savings through the Better Building Initiative, a public and private partnership with more than 900 businesses, state and local governments, utilities, housing authorities, and other organizations across the United States pursuing ambitious energy, waste, water, and/or greenhouse gas reduction goals and sharing their solutions. These savings represent 155 million metric tons of carbon emissions, or roughly the amount of greenhouse gas emitted by 20 million homes in 1 year. Decarbonizing America's building sector is a key part of President Biden's plan to reach a net zero carbon economy by 2050. Leading companies, state and local governments, and other organizations are working with the Department of Energy's Better Building Program and have committed to using less energy, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and sharing the solution that work. This is from U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm. This year's progress report underscores the incredible impact of those commitments in decarbonizing the sectors responsible for over 35% of America's emissions. Our partners are leading the way to a prosperous clean energy economy and a healthier planet. Since 2011, the Better Building Initiative has partnered with leaders in the public and private sectors to improve the energy efficiency of American homes, commercial buildings, and industrial plants. Better Buildings partners commit to expanding their investment in energy-saving technologies, sharing best practices, and measuring their progress towards predetermined goals. The 2022 Better Building Progress Report, released last week during the program's annual summit, summarized the achievement of the Better Buildings partners, which includes 36 of the country's Fortune 100 companies, 10 of the top 25 U.S. employers, and more than 100 state and local governments. Together, these companies represent 14% of America's manufacturing energy consumption footprint and 13% of the total commercial building space. It's an amazing program, and we should all be following it and finding out how we can be more part of it. Excellent news in geothermal, and let's face it, to go net zero, to reduce our carbon footprint, to understand the impact this is having with the greenhouse gases and the climate change, jumps right into our main story this week and what the UN has to talk to us about with water consumption. This week, Our featured story is featured news, and it comes from the UN report on water consumption throughout the world and the fact that we are continuing in this water crisis drive. And North America, especially the United States, is right in the middle of it with the rest of the world. And last week, I had a discussion with a young driller who said, there's trillions of gallons of water underground, Brock, and it's just being overregulated, and everybody can have as much water as they want. And the science is wrong. And I don't know how often we hear that, but it's frustrating. And let's drill into it. I know that we do a great job with education at our state and national level, but we can always hear it more. And with the UN report coming out and all the rest of the news that we see on AP, on the droughts, the climate change, water consumption, let's have a deeper discussion. So from the United States Geological Survey Water Science School, only 2.5% of the water on Earth is fresh water. So of that fresh water, groundwater is only about 30% of that. 68% of it is frozen, and the rest is, you know, running as surface and in between. So the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization released the World Water Development Report. This is what they said. Groundwater storage depletion occurs when discharge exceeds recharge. Although climate variability and climate change can play a role, most cases of long-term groundwater storage depletion result from intensive abstraction. The rate of global aggregated groundwater storage depletion is considerable. For the beginning of the present century, the estimates are mostly between 100 and 200 kilometers cubed a year, accounting for roughly 15 to 25% of the total groundwater withdrawals. An estimated 4 billion people in areas that suffer from severe physical water scarcity for at least 1 month per year. These are areas that require water transfers from neighboring water supplies when available, or depleted stored water volumes of lakes, surface water reservoirs, and aquifers. They state climate change directly impacts the natural replenishment of groundwater. Substantial uncertainty persists, however, in global projections of the impact of the climate change on groundwater recharge. The transitions towards fewer but heavier rainfalls is expected to enhance groundwater recharge in many environments. The problem is when we see this, as we have heavier rainfalls that are few and far between, we're not getting that absorption. You know, we can only absorb 1 to 3 inches at a time, and the rest is going to run off. This study continues to focus on the amount of water required for agriculture, livestock farming, and other agricultural activities, including food processing. Think about it. As we head towards that 10 billion people, you know, 100 years ago, we were less than 2 billion people in the world. So as we go, we have to meet these global demands. In order to meet the global water and agricultural demands by 2050, including an estimated 50% increase in food, feed, and biofuel demand relative to 2012 levels, it is of critical importance to increase agricultural productivity through the sustainable intensification of groundwater abstraction, while decreasing the water and environmental footprints of agricultural production. So I've said groundwater abstraction a couple times, and you know, there's several of those buzzwords out there that we should really be looking into. And we say water's being over, you know, regulated, or we look at what's happening with the waters of the United States right now, or the Colorado River Compact. So what is groundwater abstraction? It is the process of taking water from a ground source, either temporarily or permanently. Most water is used for irrigation or treatment to produce drinking water. Depending on the environmental legislation in the relevant country, controls may be placed on abstraction to limit the amount of water that can be removed. over-abstraction can lead to rivers drying up or the level of groundwater aquifers reducing unacceptably. The science of hydrogeology is used to assess safe abstraction levels. Many of our water compacts were created 90 to 100 years ago for North America. North America is the second in the world for groundwater withdrawal, according to this latest report, at 16% of the available world's freshwater. And Asia is number one at 68%. North America's freshwater supply for the world is about 21% of all, and most of that is in Canada. So, where does this put us? Why did we just cover these things? Because look in the news. Look at what was just said about Lake Powell and the Colorado River Upper Basin holding back 2 million acre feet of water to be able to maintain the levels and then be able to look to see what we have in snowfall and what water we have coming in so that we can understand how we run that water down, you know, and it's got to go all the way to New Mexico and Texas and on to Mexico. The Colorado River between 2000 and 2014 has been 19% below what it had been from 1906 to 1999. We talk about 15 years of the worst drought, but this drought is continuing to happen. And it's all coming from our unprecedented temperatures and climate change. And we're using so much water that we have to be looking at this. And this is where that comes back to, you know, groundwater abstraction. If we continue warming, we're likely going to reduce these flows even further. Think about it. 2 million acre feet, 1 acre foot is 326,000 gallons. And at the same time right now in the news, we see Nebraska and Colorado discussing their South Platte compact that's nearly 100 years old, where Nebraska is saying, we have the right to build a canal, and we're seeing all of the water consumption that's happening there. How are we going to guarantee our livestock and our water required for our irrigation? And we can go right from Nebraska into the Ogallala, where from basically the early 1900s to early 2000s, studies estimate that we have removed 89 trillion gallons from the aquifer, which is equivalent to about 2/3 of Lake Erie. Again, how is this going to be regulated? What is going to happen as we see more water-stressed states and we look at somewhere like in the Midwest with the Great Lakes states with all of the water? Now, we're in the Great Lakes water-rich, saying in Arizona and Utah, starting to become water-deprived. Florida, Texas, California, largest chunks of population in our country, which with larger population gets more house seats. And if we take this to a further level by 2030, maybe 2035, as the Great Lakes states lose house seats and seats are gained, how will groundwater be regulated? You know, how will that challenge to the Great Lakes Compact be recognized, which was only put in place by President Bush in 2008? It's a lot going on with our water right now, and we're a growing population. And then you look at what the world needs and the water crisis, and the science is there. And this is very important for us. I've done some great reading in the last couple weeks as we've started the newscast, and because this stuff excites me, I think about, there's a great piece that you can read by Nathan C. Johnson called Protecting Our Waters Compacts. It's from 2010. And then most recently, I picked up from the Emory Law Journal, Groundwater Exceptionalism, The Disconnect Between Law and Science, where Christine A. Klein discusses the legal theory of groundwater. Klein proposes the argument that the legal community needs to seek out the science in which groundwater and surface water is interconnected. One of the first newscasts, we talked about Mississippi versus Tennessee and how we designated groundwater versus surface water. We all know how the life cycle of water works and how everything is interconnected. And you can look into Texas at the Edwards and the Trinity, and you can see where they go from confined to unconfined. You can look across our entire country and see these different pieces. And how Nebraska is developing their plan with $250 million already put aside to figure out the study to build a canal to make sure they're getting their share. Do we see a North Dakota want to work with Minnesota to get water out of the Great Lakes? Or the third largest city in the country that sits on Lake Michigan and their consumption from groundwater to surface water? The same with Milwaukee. There's a lot going on here. And obviously we can see what's happening with the waters of the United States and the decisions to hold back 2 million acre feet in Lake Powell so that we can be sustainable with the less snowpack in the Sierras and these big storms that are doing heavy rains but infrequently, so that we got a lot of runoff. Had the big desalinization plant that was shut down in Huntington Beach. Obviously, with desalinizing or reclaiming water, we have to be able to store it. And that's where ASR wells come in and the rest of the technology. There's a lot going on here, and it's something that we need to be focusing on. And I know we're doing a great job of focusing on it, but the education has to be out there and discussed with our next generation coming in and our generation that is leaving. And we as well drillers, geothermal drillers, industrial drillers, we are interconnected to the agricultural industry in feeding us and in feeding the world. So we have to find a plan that works for all of us. Thank you for joining us for episode 13 of the Driller Newscast. Got a lot going on with what we need for getting to net zero, to slow down climate change, to the water crisis. These are all things that our drilling industry is 100% connected to for our businesses to prosper, for us to be involved in, for us to be part of the legislation, and to be good humanitarians so that we can continue to have a home. Check out thedriller.com for all the great content that's being released. And again, it's a short week, but let's stay focused, let's stay safe, and let's understand how we as the drilling industry can do our part to help progress civilization. Thanks, everybody.